Well, listen, I am glad to be here. I love seeing you guys, and I love to be in person. My group, my table, is a little reluctant to come back, and I am encouraging them, and I see you guys, and I'm going to encourage them even more. So thanks for being here with me this morning. So I got to tell you that I have never, ever, ever been in prison. I don't know if any of y'all have. Thank you. I don't know if any of y'all have, but I have not been in prison. But Paul was in prison. And so maybe you can relate if you've been in prison more than I can, but I can only imagine what it was like. So I just want to draw a picture, if I can, of what it was like, what was going on exactly. So Paul is in a dungeon, which I suspect is a lot worse than a prison. And he's clanking around in his chains He's totally cut off from the world, and it's dark, and it's claustrophobic, I'm sure, and horrific conditions, and all those kind of things. And it's just kind of a bad thing. And he knows, when we read further into in the fourth chapter, we know that he knows his time is short. He doesn't have much time left. This morning, I talked to Dalton just for a second, and he said, "Mr. Day," and I thought, God, that makes. Is my time short? I'm not sure. So anyway, I remind him that that is my dad, not me, Mr. Day. But so time's short, and he's writing. This is his last letter, his last epistle, and he's writing it to Timothy, and he knows a couple of things, Paul does. Number one, he knows that he has been the steadying influence on the church. Right? I mean, his hand has been very, very much of a steadying influence along with others, but he's obviously one of the key leaders. And he knows that when he does pass, that there's going to be a vacuum. I mean, there always is a vacuum when a leader leaves, right? There's going to be some type of vacuum. And Timothy is like his handpicked successor, if you will, in the church of Ephesus. So he's going to be leading the church of Ephesus. And Timothy, man, he is well-schooled. He's traveled with Paul. He's been in synagogues with Paul. He's heard him talk there. He's heard him talk in the public square, which he did many times. As they were walking from city to city, I know Paul was talking to him. So he is really engaged. He's heard hundreds of messages. So he's ready. Timothy is ready, but Paul wants to encourage him. And one of the things that he does, as we learned earlier, a couple of weeks back, he says that Paul knows that Timothy can't go it alone. He has to have some support, some people. So he tells Timothy, go share all this with good, solid, reliable men. That's what I want you to do, to spread the kingdom. And there's one more thing that Paul knows. And he knows that we are in a spiritual war. Paul knows that we are in a spiritual war. So all that's context for today's verses as we continue the worth the risk and walk through 2 Timothy. So here goes. Paul's writing from a dungeon in Rome, and he pens these words in 2 Timothy 14 and then 16 and 17. Verse 15, you may recall, Daniel DiCrisio spoke about last week. So here it is, and this happens to be from the Voice translation. It says, remind others about these things that I'm telling you. So number one is, I want you to remind them. Number two, he says, warn them before God to stop their useless bickering over words. No wrangling over words. I think that's the title for today. After all, splitting hairs does no good. It only ruins those forced to listen to their meritless arguments. So remind them and warn them. Verse 16, stay away from ungodly babbling because it only leads deeper into a godless lifestyle. Remind them, warn them, and stay away. And finally, in 17, he says, once these empty voices start, Timothy, they will infect and spread, and soon the body is consumed with cancer. Words. Hymenaeus and Philetus fell victim to this, and they walked away from the truth by claiming that the day of resurrection had already arrived. Well, this is Paul, they are clearly disrupting the faith of some who are not well grounded. So those are the verses for today. And I have to tell you that as I was preparing, I struggled. I normally will work, you know, 3 or 4 weeks kind of preparing for this 20 minutes. So about 2 weeks ago, I guess, I kind of basically put my pen down because I thought I'd nailed it. I was ready to go. And just in my, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, that ain't it. That is not where I want you to go. So, he said, I want you to go deeper. I want you to start over, tear that up, throw it away, start over what you're going to share with the men here and online. So I did that. And then he said, I started doing that. He said, I want you to get deep, and I want you to get really to the root of what's going on, what this scene is like. And that's really what I want you to do. And then share whatever I reveal to you. Well, that's kind of interesting. So I'm being taught at the same time you are by him. So I may be slow, and Todd 50.49.8 didn't even win the race. So I may be slow, but I ain't stupid. So I did that. I prayed. I read 2 Timothy, the all four chapters, many times, asking the Holy Spirit, you know, reveal. Tell me what is it? What are you driving me towards? And as I was reading, there was one word that jumped off the page that actually Chris White shared a number of weeks ago, and that word is warfare. Now, that probably seems a little strange because it's nowhere in these verses. But as I read 14, verse 14 of today's, it says, remind others about these things. So I wanted to go back and look at what some of these things were. And one of these things that I feel led to be speaking on today is warfare. So that's what I'm doing. And to paraphrase that, what Chris shared, good soldiers are engaged in warfare. Good soldiers are engaged in warfare. So that's what the Holy Spirit's asked me to share this morning, and I, of course, am going to do that. So we all know that our history books are full of warfare, right? Physical wars. I mean, even today, we've got Putin, war in Ukraine. But there's a lot of other wars going on, right? We've got cultural wars that are active and powerful and strong. You know, look at the abortion fight. Look at gender identity, CRT. I can't even keep up with all these things. Marxism, BLM, left versus right, LGBTQ, maybe Z. I think there's another letter to the end of it. So there's cultural wars going on. And also, we all obviously know, if we're reading scriptures, that there are future wars going on. Armageddon's coming. But Paul wants us to focus on something else, and that is that Satan, the evil one, the enemy, is warring against our very souls. So, you know, we live in pretty much a bubble, in the American bubble. But there's a war going on. There's a war going on outside these walls. There's a war going on inside of our mind. There is a war going on. And it's good versus evil. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. It's the spiritual war, and it is against the kingdom of God. That's what it's against. You'll remember a couple weeks back, Daniel DiCrisio shared with us that we should, he reminded us that we ought to be grounded in the Word. So we need to be grounded in the Word. Last week, Andrew, my son, reminded us that we've got to endure. There's going to be hard times, but we've got to endure. We've got to be ready. We've got to train. We've got to do all these things. So although we don't really talk about it much and think about it much, there is a spiritual war, and it's it's just as real as Putin's war. I mean, there is a war going on. And so it's a constant theme in the New Testament. So Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, he says, the sinful nature wants us to do evil, which is opposite of what the Spirit wants. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other. He tells the church in Corinth, and I'll just pick a couple words out, we do not wage war as the world does. He tells the church in Ephesus, put on the full armor of God. We all know that. I mean, what a powerful, powerful verses chapter 6. Put on the full armor of God. I love the way the Message talks about that. It says, put on the full armor so that you will be able to stand up against everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war. Don't you love that? It's no weekend war. This that we'll walk away from and forget about in a few hours or anything like that. No, this is the real deal. It's a fight to the death, life or death fight to finish against the devil. Peter, you may remember, tells us about in 1 Peter 5, he said that the devil's a real enemy, and he's prowling around looking for someone to devour. Jesus, last reference here, Jesus, probably the best reference, by the way, if we're going to Jesus, straight to him, he says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So there is a war going on. I mean, it is a war, it's a war, it's a war. It's insidious in a lot of ways. It's like cancer, is what Paul says in these verses. In this particular instance, in these verses, Satan, the enemy, uses words. That's what he does. You've all heard the phrase, we've all heard it and said it, I'm sure, a thousand times, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie. That is not true. I looked up, just I wanted to have a little context. It says that over 40% of our teenagers are cyberbullied. 40%. Wow. I mean, that's incredible. So words can be a weapon, right? They can be a weapon. Today, liberals are going after Elon Musk on Twitter. I mean, there's a war of words on Elon Musk from the left. There's a war against the Supreme Court justices. It's words. You know, they're hurling words and all of the things. I don't need to repeat any of them that you've all seen on the paper. So, in effect, Paul's telling us that what Hymenaeus and Philetus were engaged in a war of words. A war of words. And basically he's saying, look, they're false teachers. Let's cut straight to the chase. They're false teachers. But the problem is that people were listening to them. They were causing people to walk away from their faith. I mean, that's what was happening with these two characters. And Paul had had enough. In fact, if you look back into the first Timothy, he in the first chapter, he handed Hymenaeus over to Satan. Because he was, I mean, there was this, you know, he knew what Hymenaeus was doing, this war that he was perpetrating on the people with false teachings. So here's the bottom line and the root of what Holy Spirit was instructing me and leading me to share is that we are in a spiritual war. Satan is not a fairy tale. He's real. He comes to divide. He comes to deceive, and he comes to destroy. That's why he's here. And he, in this case, he's using Hymenaeus and Philetus. That he's using their words, which are spreading like cancer, to tell the people that the physical resurrection is not real. That's what it says in, I think it's in verse 18 of our reading today. Not real. And Paul, I can see Paul, he goes, wait, what? How can you even say that, Hymenaeus? How can you say that? That is absolutely opposite of everything I've taught. It's against one of my core essential teachings, because that is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Paul talks about it throughout his letters. He sums it up in 1 Corinthians. He says, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and those of us living will be raptured, and we will have glorified bodies. 1 Corinthians 15, and that's all found in 42 through 53. So he's listening to what Hymenaeus is saying, and he's saying, you've got to be kidding me. And that's why he basically handed him over to Satan, because it is total false teaching what he was doing. So he calls him out, and what he does is he warns Timothy. He says, look, stay away from this war on words, you know, because Satan can use words as a roadblock for people coming to faith, or as a U-turn, right, as a U-turn on faith. That's an important warning, I guess, is the best way to say it. So you might be asking yourself, well, what does that do with me? That's Hymenaeus, that's 2,000 years ago, you know, doesn't make much difference. Does Satan really care about me, about my family, about my children, about my business, about my finances, about my whatever it may be? Well, here's a simple answer. Satan hates God. And he hates God's people, which means that he hates you and he hates me. That's what's going on here. And he's going to scheme and he's going to use every single thing he can to draw you and me away from the kingdom. I was sharing with some of the men before. I brought this book, C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. And I'm not sure if any of you have read it all the way through. Todd's read it, partially. I think Jim read it. Did you tell me, Jim? Jim's read it. I hope y'all have read it. It is really powerful, because it's going to open your eyes to the way that the evil one, the devil, Satan, the enemy of our souls, it's going to show how he works and how he uses words as part of his arsenal to attack us. And trust me, he's going to do everything he can. Sometimes they're subtle, right? Sometimes they're subtle. It may be, hey, don't read your Bible. You don't have time. You got to get to that meeting. You got to get kids off to school. You had a fight with your wife, so it's just, don't do it. You know, and on top of that, you don't understand it. Let me tell you, you don't understand what's that said, and it's not true. So why waste your time doing that? He'll sow seeds of doubt. All the time. He does that all the time. Just like he did with Eve in the garden. You may remember. Did God really say? You know? And then he's going to say, hey, he'll suggest things to you in your mind. In my mind. Hey, you deserve that. You deserve that car, that home. And I know it's more than you can afford, but you can get credit. You can borrow it. You can pay it back. Don't worry about it. He'll do things late at night, like say, don't worry, you can look at that. Nobody will ever know. It's not going to hurt anybody. He's going to say, and Scotty says this to me a lot. He says, you're really stupid. You are really stupid. That was such a bad decision. Why did you do that? So he's going to do everything he can to manipulate our minds. And Screwtape says, I have to read this one, just one sentence. It says, this is from Screwtape, who is the uncle. For those of you that hadn't read it, he is the uncle, and he's speaking to his nephew, Wormwood, and they're both demons, and this is the training from Screwtape to Wormwood. And he says to Wormwood, he says, virtues like loyalty and honesty and respect all run counter to our cause. So, cover them with confusion. A lot of confusion. A haze of confusion is the way he says it. So sometimes the enemy will come in on the side door with all these indirect thoughts and words and stuff in your minds. And other times he'll use a direct frontal attack. So let me just tell you very quick, and then we'll wrap it up, personal story. So last fall, my company won a public bid to buy a parking deck in Florida. Won it fair and square. We did our due diligence. We did everything, and we won it and signed the contract with the city. Everything, we felt great. Everything's great. And then out of nowhere, the losing bidder sued the city and sued us and said it wasn't fair. Didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. It was bad. It was bad. This, and the guy called me and he used some words that I don't even think sailors use against me. And I got to tell you, it hurt. I mean, it hurt my integrity. I'm thinking, wait, what did I do? I mean, you know, it was an attack on my business and me and stuff. But Marie and I, my wife of almost 49 years, coming up here in a month, we were prepared for warfare. We were prepared. Over 50 years, she and I had been following Jesus. We were grounded in the truth. And we knew that God was for us. We knew that God was with us in the battle. And we knew all this because we were experienced warriors. We'd fought before. If you want to talk about fights, just let's have coffee. I'll share some fights that I've been in the middle of. Kelly, you've probably seen some of my fights that I've been involved in. But we knew in one of our battle cries, Marie and I, especially in the 2008, 9, and 10 time frame, actually 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, it went on and on. But Isaiah 43:19 was one of our, you know, we just hung on to that verse, and it says that he will make streams in the desert. Isn't that great? He will make streams. There's no way, right? You're not going to get a stream in a desert, are you? I don't think so. God says, I'm going to make stream in the desert. So he made a way for us through that crisis. So we prayed. Marie and I prayed about this Florida thing. We put on the full armor of God, which is one of the verses we talked about. We sowed a seed. One of the things we've learned to do is that you sow a seed. In this case, we were buying a parking deck. And so one of the ministries that we followed was building a parking deck. So we sowed a seed into a parking deck, like to like. We did that. And then just like Jesus commanded in Mark 11, it says we spoke to the mountain. You remember that, Mark 11, 22 through 25. Jesus says, you know, hey, guys, you can speak to the mountain. And if you believe and you don't doubt, if you believe and you don't doubt, if you believe and you don't doubt, it will be cast into the sea. So we were casting this, you know, our opposition, our enemy, into the sea. So 2 days ago, Wednesday, I'm excited to tell you that we closed. We won the battle. Now listen, it cost, the legal fees were out of this world. But we were able to get through it, and God made a way. He made a stream in the desert for us, and we are grateful. We are incredibly grateful. So, back to the dungeon in Rome as we land this for today. Paul knows all about the enemy, and he's talking to Timothy about him. And he said, look, Satan's going to scheme. He's going to do all kind of things against us. He's going to try to deceive us. He's going to try to divide us. He's going to try to destroy us. That's what he's going to do. And sometimes it's going to be a frontal attack, and sometimes it's going to be words. He's going to do that. Because his mission is really simple. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what Jesus said. I believe that. But Paul says, as good soldiers, we're more than conquerors. So Paul charges Timothy 2,000 years ago, and he charges you and me and you online to be a good soldier in the battle. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we come to you and we thank you that you are the way maker. You do make streams in the desert. It's truly incredible what you did for me and what you've done for each one of these men. And I pray right now for these men, Lord, that as they prepare for the battle, because it is a battle, it is real, it's a life and death battle. And I just pray that they will continue to endure, as Andrew spoke about in last week, and that they will train and just get grounded in the Word, as Daniel talked about. Just be grounded. Because when they do that, they will be victorious, they will be a good soldier, and the Lord will say, "Well done, good and faithful friend." In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. In the power of the resurrection blood of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Have a great time at your tables. Thank you.